Your name?
April Goggins.
And your position?
President of the Marbury Plaza Concerned Tenants Association.
The Marbury tenants have just signed a significant agreement. It comes on the heels of several years of a lot of organizing and hard work. Talk first about the agreement that was signed, and then let's talk about the organizing you've been heading up for some time now.
The settlement agreement, which was signed the last week of July, is between the tenant association and the owners of Marbury Plaza, along with Attorney General Peter Nichols and Director of DCRA Linda Argo. That settlement was created to settle the many tenant claims of those of us who were part of the rent strike and pay our money into the court registry. And it assures that the owners and Urban Investment Partners, the property management company, will be able to expend approximately $5 million on repairs and replacements and upgrades to the property's major systems.
April Goggins, you mentioned a rent strike. I guess that takes us back to some of the organizing that's gone on that has been required to bring to the table the owners. And who are the owners?
The owners are A&A Marbury LLC, which is a company that was created by both the Lightstone Group and the Collins Group.
And the rent strike?
The rent strike was organized in the fall of 2008. Basically, after attempts to sell and buy the building failed, the tenant association decided that it wanted to take on the numerous and significant housing code violations and issues on the entire property. Once we started that process, after little or no response from ownership and management, we decided to begin withholding rent after a meeting with Councilmember Alexander and meetings with the Office of the Tenant Advocate on what our rights were under DC law. So the rent strike was kind of twofold. First, it was kind of a shock and awe to the system of Marbury Plaza in that it withheld rent, so it was hitting the pocketbooks of the owners, and secondly it also caused a lot of solidarity with the tenants to know that we were empowered and that we would have our day in court, because we would have to be sued in landlord and tenant court, and then we'd have our day in front of the judge to be able to tell them what our specific complaints were. So the rent strike was a perfect vehicle for that. Allowed people to feel empowered and to also make a statement that our units and the property weren't worth the amount of rent that was being demanded of us for both reduction in services as well as living with various housing code violations.
What were some of those housing code violations?
We struggle constantly with intermittent heat and hot water. There'll be days that you don't have either heat or don't have hot water. In the summertime, the air conditioners often fail. We have a roach and mice infestation. We deal with constant leaks and floodings, especially from convector units in each unit. We had a non-functioning ventilation system on most of the property, which affected every bathroom and kitchen. And like I said, these problems were pervasive. They touched every tenant and every part of the property.
And yet it wasn't, and it maybe still isn't, every tenant who's joined, but a handful of you who started out with the rent strike and have pursued this to its conclusion, this settlement. Talk about some of that organizing, what the response of some of the tenants have been, and how you're able to gain momentum and build the organization.
Right. The original group of tenants who joined the rent strike started out of about 10 of us, kind of caused ourselves to come together and in solidarity withhold our rent and go to court. People saw that we weren't going to get put out, we weren't going to be evicted, we weren't retaliated against in any major way, other people started joining, and eventually it grew to about 80. We had rent strike rallies. We did flyer campaigns. We talked to people. We answered questions. We gave legal We gave legal resources to the tenants, apprised them of their rights, and tried to dispel a lot of the fears that there were. And we believe that's what led to it being so successful and so many people joining the cause.
April Goggins, can you talk about your own personal involvement here? You have a full-time job, and yet you said you can put as many as 40 hours into, you know, being a tenant association president. And some of the duties you mentioned earlier were the filing FOIAs and reaching out to DCRA and the various different agencies to get them out here. You've put an incredible amount of work into reaching this settlement, which you've described as not perfect.
Right. So over these years dealing with especially the housing code violations and holding the management accountable, I mean, it took a personal commitment that was far and above anything I thought it would be at the time, would involve me purchasing law books to understand laws and contracts, understanding and sometimes memorizing DC code and some of the international codes and how that works. Several FOIA requests to get documents from the city that documented issues going on at Marbury Plaza. Constant reaching out to council members and the mayor's office and other city officials. Working with tenant groups, finding out things that they have done. Learning from them. It takes, you know, my whole house is kind of an office to the tenant association. I have a whole closet just for the tenant association, a whole filing cabinet just for the tenant association. So for me, there are times that I don't go to bed till 3-4 in the morning, either answering emails or doing research, writing briefs, writing letters. And so it's just it's a tremendous commitment. It's definitely worth it, but it's been a lot of work. And it continues to be a lot of work.
And what gives you the drive to do it?
I feel like it's simply a matter of justice. I mean, I would be totally remiss and negligent in my duty as a human being to allow the situation at Marbury Plaza to continue. And I also see the value in our fight mirrors so many fights around the city and even that of the nation, that hopefully if we make some victories and some strides and have some first times, that it will benefit the lives of tenants all over. So I think that while I work and we work here at Marbury Plaza, we work in solidarity with those who struggle with the same issues all over the country, and especially here in the district.
The Tenant Association was started in 2007 to look into TOPA, mm-hmm. Tenant Opportunity to Purchase Act. Can you talk about, explain what that is?
Right. So in the District of Columbia, once an owner of a multifamily dwelling wants to sell their property, the tenants of that property have the first right of refusal. So they can choose to exercise their tenant opportunity to purchase act rights, which means that they can find their own developer and purchaser and buy the building themselves before the owner can sell it to a third party. And so our tenant association formed around that, as tenants here desperately want to be homeowners, and we realize the value of this is as prime real estate here at Monterey Plaza. So we organized on that premise and had a tremendous outpouring of interest from the development community here in D.C. And some people outside of D.C. To make that happen. Ultimately, it didn't come through, but we do know that this property will always be a hot commodity on the real estate market, and we pride ourselves on being 110% ready for the next opportunity to purchase. And we have a long track record and history and experience and knowledge that will help us through that process.
April Goggins, the current owners of this property, as you mentioned, is ANA Marbury LLC. Can you talk a bit about them and how they have handled some of the financing for this complex?
Right, okay. So in 2004, I believe, ANA Marbury LLC purchased Marbury Plaza property. ANA Marbury LLC is comprised of the Lightstone Group out of New York and the Collins Group out of New York as well. And so the managing members then include David Lichtenstein, Ari Parnes and Ariel Feldhammer. When they purchased, about a year after they originally purchased Marbury Plaza, they refinanced their loan through the Community Bank of New York. And that refinancing yielded them money they could use in the amount of approximately $14 million. That deed and assumption of the deed with the bank, the loan document, details in great detail all the improvements and upgrades that were to happen with that money, specifically with that money immediately. However, in 2009, Lightstone's SEC report, their prospectus, stated that about $10 million of those funds likely went to investors and weren't put back into the property. As A&A Marbury decided to introduce a new property management company, Urban Investment Partners, here in D.C., the bank opted to loan another $5 million to the owners to put into the property, despite having done this so in the past and it not being used correctly. But that $5 million was not going to be used by the owners and Urban Investment Partners, unless it was... Unless they settled with the claims with the tenants in landlord and tenant court.
So this company buys this building and then uses it to generate another $14 million in loans, which don't end up going to the improvements for this building. And now they've got an additional $5 million to do the improvements that were supposed to have already been done. This is quite surprising.
Yes, it's extremely surprising. And the association... sent correspondence to the guarantor of the loan at New York Community Bank, and we spoke through letters back and forth in 2009 discussing this issue. And while the bank claims to have no, they're not bound by any of the city housing codes, they expressed their concern. But we do, it's very surprising that they were, business-wise, they feel that they have a property that they need to bring some value to, which is why they're infusing this $5 million. But it's unsettling that at one point we had $14 million dollars to do just that with years ago, and it wasn't spent for that purpose.
September 17th, you have the Tenant Choice Awards. Can you talk about what those are and how folks, if they're interested, can attend, as well as any final thoughts you want to share, April Goggins?
Yes, we're really excited about our second annual Tenant Choice Awards. It will be held Friday, September 17th at the ARC, and that's at 1901 Mississippi Avenue Southeast. And the tickets are, it starts at 7 p.m. The tickets are $10 in advance, $15 at the door. You can go to www.thearcdc.org and click on the events, look for the Tenant Choice Awards and purchase your tickets there. Or you can contact us at 202-459-4660 and you can purchase tickets that way. The awards were set up to pay honor and give awards to people, organizations, officials that have helped the tenant association over the years. We'd like to recognize those people. Some of this year's awardees will be Bread for the City, their director, as well as their legal staff.
Who have been very helpful in this effort.
Exactly. They were the lawyers who represented all of the tenants in the rent strike. It's also going to represent some of their other staff members who worked with the SOS campaign, the Save Our Safety Net campaign. So those organizers will be honored in that night. Some council members who have helped us, David Captania, Yvette Alexander, Michael Brown, Marion Barry, some of those individuals, and some other individuals, Office of the Tenant Advocate, will also receive awards. But the Our most proud awardees of that night are the tenants of Marbury Plaza, who have gone above and beyond in helping our efforts here at Marbury Plaza. And so they will also be receiving awards that night. The award show also presents some very exciting performers. We have rapper Head Rock, who's done some work here, a lot of work here in D.C. We have the Beach of Feet Kings from America's Best Dance Crew, Chris Styles Bacon, who's a 2010 Grammy nominee, Mecca, who's a poet and comedian, and we also have the International Capoeira Angola Foundation, who will also be performing that night.
April Goggins, I still want to get your final thoughts, but I there was one other thing I wanted to bring up, which is from Lydia DePillis in City Paper, and she was talking. She looked through some of the campaign finance donations, and this is at the very same time it appears that the city was stepping in to have an agreement between ANA Marbury LLC and your tenant association. Donations may have been made to the Fenty campaign as well, and in City Paper it reads, quote, Urban Investment Partners, and they are the management company here who may have an interest in buying the place as well. Quote, Urban Investment Partners, which was in the news most recently for its management of Marbury Plaza, is a huge fan that is of Fenty. Continuing, quote, through Marbury Plaza, it donated $2,000 to Fenty's campaign. LLCs tied to four other properties donated $500 each. Urban Investment Partners Property Management gave $500. A senior vice president gave $250. And the company CEO, David Zweig, chipped in $100 for good measure. Your response?
It was really interesting to read that, and I kind of have mixed feelings. I mean, they are a company who's, you know, more than within their rights to donate. However, when looking at the dates of those donations, it was the same week that we were signing our settlement. So it was a little unnerving, I have to be honest. And it looks like their lawyers from who also negotiated the settlement, as well as Peter Bunnell and Steve Schwat, Wout Koster, also the senior management there at UIP all donated to the Fenty campaign at that very moment that we were settling these claims. So, we've had a long tenure of mistrust in between management and the owners and the tenants here, and doesn't really go to improve that relationship at all. But it's definitely something that we're aware of and take under advisement as well.
And you needed to get the government involved because there was an impasse with you and the management company. Was that difficult to do?
You know, it's difficult in that you have to be incredibly persistent and to the point of irritating them with constant emails, letters to the DC Council Oversight Committee's testimony, all of those things to get them involved. But it's critical that we involve them because they're supposed to act like an objective third party in making sure that the terms of the agreement are kept by both sides. So it's definitely critical. I don't think we would have signed without their involvement, because there's no way to make sure that violations are being abated, that the repairs are being done in a way that is meaningful, and that the money is spent the way that it's supposed to be. So, it's definitely imperative that they're involved.
April Goggins, any final thoughts you want to share as you look back over these 3 years of work that have led to this agreement, which you've described as not perfect, but a major step forward for tenants here?
Right. I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is that the tenants here deserve to live in a habitable place, a place that they feel comfortable, safe, and healthy in. I've been reading some comments on some of the articles that have been circulated in D.C. about this settlement, and a lot of people are wondering why we just didn't get up and leave, why we didn't vote with our feet. And I think the moral to this all is nobody should have to. You pick a place to live. It's it's provided to you in such a manner that makes you want to live there. There are certain amenities, certain things that you are guaranteed through your lease of wanting to live there. And I think you should be entitled to those things and exercise your rights when they're not. So I think the biggest thing is that, you know, if you keep on making sure that people are held accountable, then eventually there's no option but for justice to be served.
Did you have any idea when you moved here that you would be taking on these issues and becoming a leader, the president of the tenant associations and dealing with so many agencies and filing FOIAs and becoming a quasi-legal expert and the rest?
Not at all. I moved here from Colorado and didn't have no family here, didn't know anybody here, and just kind of thought I was just moving into a new community, going to start my government job with my daughter, and I had absolutely no idea. I had no idea about tenant issues in general, let alone what was going on at Marbury Plaza. So no, I had absolutely no clue.
Thanks so much, April Goggins.
Thank you.